Morning. Let me get situated. Also, we'll have a quick meeting after this, give you an update on the building. All right, so this message was a battle. Part of that this morning was that only 3 pages printed. And not all 7. So we'll wait and see what happens next. All right. So we sang in these songs. If I can find where it was at. On higher ground, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And I think that's, you know, we all probably like the song, but getting there is a whole different deal. We sang this morning in our first song, though great may be our dullness in thought and word and deed. And when it comes to the spiritual, unfortunately, we are often dull. As the Lord said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And so, when it comes to the spiritual, the physical normally overtakes, runs away, we get distracted, and so forth. So our message this morning is going to be words of life. You can turn to Deuteronomy, we'll be there some. So I've been reading through Deuteronomy, and one of the things that has struck me was the emphasis that the Lord put on all his commands and his statutes that he gave to Israel. And most of the time when we look at that, we think of that as being the law for the Israelites. Doesn't really apply to us. Doesn't really matter. It was good to know. And that's about as far as we go with it. In John 6:66, we read that many of the disciples were leaving Christ. And Jesus said to the 12, "Will you go away also?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So normally as we think of that, the words of life, and we just sang that song, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life." And in the song, the last two verses are speaking of the gospel. We normally associate all of that with the gospel. But God is very clear in that he says, "Keep my commandments and live." We think of that as the spiritual, but it affects the physical. We're not going to dig too deep, but we're going to go in to some of this and look at it. So in Deuteronomy, well, Jesus in the wilderness, Satan is tempting him, and he tells Jesus to command these rocks to be turn them into bread so that he could eat, because he's been fasting for 40 days. He has had nothing to eat. And Jesus quotes to him from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. But he tells him, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In Deuteronomy 8:3, and it says, I'm going to actually back up to verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live, and multiply, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And he continues on of how he took care of them in the wilderness. He did allow them to hunger. He did allow them to go through some tough times. The point was to show them what was in their heart. God already knew. To see if they would follow his commands. And for us, as we go through different trials, he is working in our life to show us what's in our heart and to make us more like Christ. So flip over to chapter 4. Verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we can call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son, especially the day that the Lord stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So we see again, the Lord says, keep his commandments and you that you may live. They're going into the land of Canaan. He is going to give them the land of Canaan, these nations. But it's interesting, he says, go in. He tells them to possess it. He tells them to possess it before they've even gone in it. And then he tells them there's going to be battles. And he's going to give them the victory, but there's still going to be battles. We, as believers, are going to have battles. We're going to have struggles. Christ told us you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have struggles. I'm not going to spend any time on that because we're going to get to that one in a different message, because I wouldn't have time for all that today. But that is very, very interesting as we look at that and compare to our spiritual lives and the struggles and the things that we're going through. But he says, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Then he says, the nations are going to notice you. You're going to stand out among all the other nations because of the judgments, the statutes, and the commandments that he's given them. It's going to be wisdom and understanding. A lot of this we kind of take for granted. But as you look through and look at how the Lord, the different things that he gave, a lot of times we're looking at those as the, this dealing with sacrifices and so forth. All of them weren't. The Lord is basically giving instructions and commands for a nation. A lot of times, you know, we kind of look at things a little differently. Okay, well, that doesn't necessarily apply to us. When we get to the New Testament, the Lord's dealing with the individual. In the Old Testament, there you'll see he's dealing with a nation. He sets up rules and laws for a nation. Rules and laws for a nation are different than rules and laws for a family. So one of the things that he does, I mean, he covers everything. He gives instructions on how to deal with disease, with the dead, even going to the bathroom. The instructions would minimize disease and the spreading of germs. Years ago, I was in, went to Germany, and we went to one of the castles. Well, they would have two castles. I wasn't aware of this. They had a summer castle and a winter castle. And they had little places in the on the top of the wall, and you had a outhouse or whatever, but you basically used the bathroom outside the wall. Well, in the summertime, they would switch and go to another one because obviously the smell and so forth would get so bad. God gave them instructions to minimize disease and to minimize, basically, for cleanliness. Creation Moments had an article, and it said back when, I don't know if I get this guy's name right, Ignaz, he was Hungarian. Semmelweis, anyway, he was a doctor. It was back in the 1800s. One out of every six women who gave birth in a hospital died of what is called childbed fever. Dr. Semmelweis set out to discover why this was happening. He discovered that doctors were not cleansing their hands or their instruments between patients. As a result, they were spreading germs from one patient to the next. Dr. Semmelweis instituted a policy requiring clean hands and instruments for each patient, and the mortality rates dropped almost to zero immediately. Dr. Semmelweis, I told you it was Creation Moments. Discovery was not new knowledge. Thousands of years earlier, God had taught the Israelites through Moses that whenever they came into contact with a dead or diseased person, they were unclean. Unclean people and their clothing had to be cleansed and clear running water. They also had to sprinkle their clothing with wet hyssop branches. Today we know that hyssop contains a powerful antibacterial and antifungus agent. So basically he was talking about when the Bible teaches about medicine and so forth, about science, is still technically accurate and correct. After all, the author of the Bible is also the author of everything that science studies. So again, a lot of times we think of the Old Testament, it is the law and the Ten Commandments, and think of the offerings and so forth. But God has put a lot of emphasis on his word. And to find the most about his word, if we go to Psalm 119, I'm going to be jumping around so you don't have to turn to them, but I will give you the verses. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it is about God's word. First thing that we're going to see is the importance of God's word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations, that thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to the ordinances after I'm sorry. They continue this day according to thine ordinance for all thy servants. God has established his word in heaven. verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 116, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He tells us about sin, and we know several of those verses, and so I'll read the familiar ones. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's verses 2 and 3. And verses 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So if we take a poll, most of us will say we read the Bible. We might waver a little bit where we get to every day and how much time we spend and so forth, but how many of us memorize it? How many verses can you say you've memorized? And we have this pathetic excuse that I can't memorize. Memorizing is essentially repetition. The little kids in the nursery, not nursery, but well, even then, they can do it. We had, I don't remember his name now, what was the guy, Dave Stifler. I think Caleb was three. He was three or four. And I would work with him riding, y'all complain about the rides, 40, 45 minute ride. And before the end of the week, I think it was probably Wednesday or Thursday, he was able to recite the whole thing. And Dave was so encouraging. Oh, yeah, but I had somebody younger do that. But he did. He memorized all of it. But it's just repetition. You just keep repeating it. You get that phrase down. You go to the next phrase, repeat all of it, and keep working. And you can go through a whole chapter, a whole book, whatever. But we don't do that. We don't meditate. We may meditate a little bit about what we read, but how much time are we spending on putting God's word into our heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And then verse 4 through 6, he says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And you just read through, there's just verse after verse about keeping the Lord's commandment. Then he talks about it is wisdom. Oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day that thou through thy commandments has made me wise. Wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from evil, from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is wisdom. We see that in the New Testament. We see that in Colossians. But God's word is wisdom. It just came to mind. I wish I had thought of it earlier and written it down. I won't give you his name because I'll get it wrong. But it was a guy, he was in agriculture, but he ended up they were having a problem with something. Anyway, they started raising peanuts. He came up with over 100 different things that you can create out of peanuts. And they called him up to Congress. It was a black guy. I can't remember for sure what his name was. Anyway, they called him and they were asking him, they said, how did you learn so much? He said, well, I read this book. And he said, the Bible tells you about peanuts? He goes, no, but the author knows about it. And I asked him, and he told me. So all these things the Lord showed him, things that, you know, we hadn't come over, it was over 100 different things to create out of peanuts. The Lord knows his creation. We undervalue the wisdom that we have in our hands. And the psalmist talks about the value is more than gold and silver. Psalm 119:72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right and hate every false way. And then in 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And this one should be a prayer of ours every time we open the Bible. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So it's not just the New Testament, it's the whole Bible that we need to be consumed with. Everything in our life should revolve around God and his word. Colossians 3:4 tells us that Christ is our life. That means we probably need to make some changes. If Christ is our life, if we center ourselves around God's word, some of those things that he tells us, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you have an issue with someone else, go talk to them. Don't gossip. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you should answer every man. And we all do that, right? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. So that's just a few of the instructions that he gives us. God has given us everything in his word to deal with every situation in life. It may not tell you how to get on your computer or something else, but it has application for everything that we do. So think of the bitterness, the different things that come up in relationships because we don't handle them the way God tells us to. We don't go to someone and talk to them when we have an issue. Instead, we're going to talk to everybody else about it. And it's going to brew in our mind, and we're going to work up scenarios and different situations. When he tells us as far as that Christ is our life. If Christ is your life, and he's in you, but if he was sitting right beside you, how many things would you turn off? How many TV shows would you turn off? How many sports would you turn off? How much of your music would you turn off? If Christ was sitting right beside you and you're going to honor him. We all like different music. But if it's not about Christ, it's not about God, is it beneficial? I'm not saying all music's bad. You have to make that decision. But what we have to be careful of is those little things add up to the big things. As Proverbs, it says, it's the little foxes that do the damage. Spoil the grapes. It's the little foxes that get in. It's the little things that we overlook. And then when you go through a struggle and you fail and you fall, what do? We focus on that last little thing we did. It's like we didn't focus on all the stuff that was working up to it. The world has an agenda, and they're pushing it very hard. I didn't advocate what the Christian school did when we were growing up, but that was it was one of those, it was legalism, and it would cause you to rebel very quickly. I'm sure there was a few compliant people, but when you start telling kids all the stuff, well, you can't, you got your hair, have your hair this length, and you girls can have dresses, you can't be any shorter than this, you can't go to movies. They had a Christian movie came out, and they got a lot of kickback on it. But one of their things about the movie was, even if the movie's good, what do you see before the movie starts? And they have it was later on, way after I was out of school, but somebody was talking about, and they said, well, it was a good going to be a good movie. They took their kids, but all the previews that they showed beforehand, they said, I wish I'd have never took my kids. I mean, they got the pictures and everything right there in their mind and can't get rid of it. So I'm not saying what to get rid of. I'm saying we need to look at our lives and look at what we're doing. I listen to other music besides Christian music, but the majority of the time I'm listening to Christian music. But, you know, some of that appeals to our flesh. It appeals to the beat or the different things, whatever it may be. And it may not necessarily be bad, but a lot of times we're not really listening to what the song is saying. And when you start listening to what the song is saying, you go, why am I listening to this? So we need to be careful of what we're doing. All of those other things add up and cause us problems, and God knows that. He was very specific in telling the children of Israel the things they were not to do when they went in to Canaan, because those things were... why he was destroying those nations because of their sin continued to increase. And the thing is like sin doesn't, we say the phrase, where all of us are capable of, you know, the worst sin. That's true in theory, but it's not logistically real that you're going to go out and kill somebody out of spite. You know, somebody walks up here and, oh, I just hate them and I'm going to kill them. That's not the way it works. Sin works and grows, and you don't go from, you know, you don't go from where you are right now to a murderer just right off the bat. There is a process. What we miss is what's adding to that process, because sin is a spiral, and it gets worse and worse on that downward spiral. You look in Romans. Once you begin to reject God's word, once you begin to reject those things, it's a downward spiral. And as soon as you start that downward spiral, if the Lord doesn't intervene, the grace of God doesn't pull you out of that one, you can go to the depths of sin. And that's where we have to understand. We look at that and say, yeah, that can happen. But the other side of that is, what caused that? What did I miss? And as you start allowing the little things, it begins to grow. And as I said, the world has an agenda, and they are pushing it very strongly. You can see it on the billboards. You can see it in everything. You can see it in all of their advertisements. And those things work in our minds, and we have to be careful. When the Lord tells us spending time in His Word, we're cleansing our minds of that stuff. We're setting that bar of what truth is, and that helps us not to begin on a downward spiral, because we're following what the Lord says, and we are renewed. Our minds are renewed constantly through His Word. You can turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So the other thing that He says is, they are to teach their children. In verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontless before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. So we see the God has placed the importance of his word, and it should be in our hearts, in our minds, in our mouths all the time. And when you're teaching kids, it should always be coming up. We were talking about the music earlier. We were very careful not to listen to, we just played Christian music. It was kids' music mainly for the kids when they were young. Because, you know, at some point they're going to start listening to some other stuff. But we were very careful early on. That's all they had was Christian music. There was nothing else. You know that have had kids, the things that you don't want them to hear or pick up, that's what they hear and pick up. And we'll repeat at the inopportune time. We've all experienced that. But we were very careful about that because kids pick up so much. And the thing is, they pick up things that you just completely miss. So the Lord is being very specific as to what his commands, his word, should be in their hearts and their minds. It should be their talk when they're sitting down, when they're rising up, when they're going on the path, when they're going different ways. They should have their whole conversation, their whole way of life should be about God and his word. That doesn't change when it gets to us. In the New Testament, the Lord tells us to teach our children these same things. So we have to be careful to do all that the Lord has commanded us. In Psalm 119:18 that we read earlier, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We have the creator of the universe who has disclosed to us things in his word for us to live life by. And yet, we feel it's better to listen to the world. It's better just to go along with what I think. And what we have to be careful of, we use this verse for salvation, but he says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end is the way thereof is the way of death. In other words, there's a way that seems like it's right, but you're wrong, and you're dead wrong. So the Lord, a lot of the things that come to mind is from the flesh. The spiritual is opposite of the physical. So those things that come natural, a lot of times they are wrong. The Lord told Joshua, I won't read all of it, it's in Joshua 1, 5 through 10, but he told him to be strong and of good courage as he's getting ready to go into the land. And he says that I will be with you. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. But he tells him, if you want to be prosperous, successful, it is to keep this book of the law and to follow it, to meditate on it day and night. I don't know about y'all, but I can't say that I meditate on God's word day and night. But if we did, how much would our life change? A lot. So we need to change our viewpoint. The entirety of God's word is our instruction manual for life. We hear, as different ones have said it in this meeting, it's God's love letter to us. It's his love letter, but it's his instruction manual. And if you follow the manual, you get things right. And when you know, when you start putting something together you're not familiar with, and you don't follow the manual, you end up with somewhat of a mess. And then you're trying to go back and straighten it out. Most of the time, we end up with a mess, and we're trying to go back and straighten it out. And again, the Lord puts very high priority on his word. I think there was another verse that he says, I know it's another verse, I just don't remember, didn't see it in Psalm 119 when I was reading, but I think it is in 119. But he says, think of God and what he says about his name. And he says that he exalts his word above his name. If his word is what he has given, it is going to be accurate. It is settled in heaven. Christ said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all of it's fulfilled." I mean, one little apostrophe, the Lord said, until it's fulfilled, nothing is going to pass away. None of his law, any of that, is going to pass away. That's very significant. We need to understand and value God's word the way God values his word. He's given it to us for instruction, and he means for us to follow it. I think that was emphasized very well when we look at what he told Israel, and it is no different for us today. We have more revelation. We should be more enthralled with his word than they were. You've probably heard the song, Ancient Words. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world where we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. So hopefully this was encouraging to you to spend more time in God's word, not necessarily just reading, but that we learn it, memorize it, hide it in our heart, that we're constantly talking and focusing on God's word. Like I said, it just, as I was going through in Deuteronomy, is actually even before Deuteronomy, but as you're just reading, it's time after time after time. And then when you get to some of these other ones, there's a couple of places in Deuteronomy, and he says, he tells them that once, I'll read a little bit of this. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And we can look at our nation now. He mentions this more than once. When you're full, when all this stuff is going well, beware lest you forget. Think of where we are, the land that we're in, and it's easy. We're prosperous, and beware, because we forget. We lose that first love. All right, open up for any comments. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all the time. We can just look at your word this morning. We just thank you for it, that you have given it to us, and we just ask that you would help us to spend time in it, as we not just to read it, but to take it into our lives and let it change us, that we would realize the importance of it, that no matter what we're doing, that your word will apply to every situation of life, that we can reflect back on it, we can look at the principles that you've given us in it, and we know how to treat others, we know how to deal with tough situations, we know to keep our focus on you and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.